Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us two teachings in today's gospel. First, he teaches that the true foundation of the law, that is, the commands of God, the true foundation is love. Second, he teaches that he is both the Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also the Son of Man, born of the Virgin Mary. These teachings come together in the knowledge that the love that the Father and the Son have for one another is the same love that we should have for one another. The Son loves us through obeying the commands of the Father. We love our neighbor through obedience to the commands of the Son. A lawyer asks Jesus, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" And he answers, not by naming this commandment or that one, but with a veritable summary of the law. Love. Because love is what is at the root of every command that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It is the why for everything that God commands. Why should you have no other gods? Love. Why should you not commit adultery? Love. Why should you not covet? Love. Why should you comfort sinners with the news of forgiveness in Christ? Love. Why should you warn sinners of death and damnation? Also, with Jesus' one answer, he covers the whole conspectus of everything that God has ever commanded his people. We also see from our Old Testament lesson that love is a way of life. God says to his people, "What does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." God's commands are for our good because he loves. And this is not a teaching only of the Old Covenant. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And Christianity was first called the way because it called for one's entire life to be dedicated to God. And a life dedicated to loving God is a life dedicated to loving your neighbor. That's what the Christian is called to do. All things God commands of us are summarized in loving him with all your being, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So everything that you do, do it in obedience to God. If you sin, repent and turn to God. If you work, work as an honest laborer. If you teach, instruct as one who has learned from God. If you are a husband, cherish and protect your wife. If you are a wife, submit to your husband and honor him. If you are a child, obey your parents and desire to please them. If you are unmarried or widowed, avoid temptation and live in simple obedience to God. These are examples of love as a way of life. By avoiding worldly temptations and dedicating your life to the only thing that matters, the approval of God and the salvation of your neighbor. Jesus answers the lawyer, "What the greatest commandment is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." There is a reason that the love of God is listed as the first greatest commandment, as opposed to the second greatest commandment. Only if we love God do we care to listen to his commands. And it's only through his commandments that we can know how rightly to love our neighbor, what is good for him and what is bad, what will help him or what will harm him. As Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The words are spirit and life. Because there is no shortage of opinions as to how you are to love someone. Only God's opinion, though, is truth. We do not love our neighbor apart from God's commands, but through them. And this touches very poignantly on our modern situation, so that with a right understanding, you are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. There is a deceitful spirit at work in the world that convinces unsuspecting Christians that you love your neighbor by accepting him for who he claims to be, or by not judging his or her choices. Do not be deceived. You cannot love your neighbor by approving of his same-sex union. You cannot love your neighbor by putting him out of his misery. You cannot love your neighbor by holding her hand through an abortion. It is popularly thought and taught today that Jesus died so that you don't have to take God's law so seriously. The cross made it so that we could have some wiggle room to make our own mistakes, rather than warning to avoid them in the first place. Lighten up, this false gospel says. Live in the freedom of the gospel. Don't worry that you might trash the room. Jesus paid the deposit already. This is a false gospel. At least in spirit, it teaches that Christ died so that you are not constrained by the commandments, but are free to act in a way you feel is right in a particular situation. But we know the truth. Scriptures say that the commands of God are not burdensome, certainly not to the new man in Christ. The false gospel says that the law is relaxed because of Christ, so you can act in love, not the law. But Jesus says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Just as you cannot love your falling neighbor by relaxing the law of gravity, so too you don't have the power to love your sinning neighbor by relaxing God's commands. You don't have the authority, and it's a false comfort and a false hope and a false assurance to do so. Rather, you truly love your neighbor by keeping Jesus' commands from the heart and teaching others to do the same. Now, after Jesus sufficiently answers the lawyer's question, he moves on to ask the Pharisees a question of his own. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Peter had already confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is right. On the other hand, the Pharisees answer by saying that the Christ is the Son of David. It says so in the Psalms. The son, in other words, of an ancestral man. They are not wrong either. But the whole picture requires both confessions, because Jesus Christ is both. He is true God, begotten of his Father from eternity, and he is also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, descendant of David. He is both David's son and David's Lord. This is why Jesus teaches with authority. This is why this young 30-something rabbi can presume to teach his elders. Because in truth, he has no elders. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before Abraham was, he is the Word who was God and with God in the beginning. And this is the mystery that Jesus reveals from this psalm that he quoted. God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one eternal God. Hear this, believe it, and confess it as the first greatest mystery above all things. Because God's love for his Son and Jesus' love for the Father is the love that we are called to have for one another. So I leave you with the words of Jesus, words that show that love and the commandments are like a vine to the branches, are like Christ to his disciples, are like a spring to a river. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which passes our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.